This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you,
bringing interviews, inspiration, and information to encourage, refresh, and equip you to embrace the deep, to find your truest story, your truest message in the deep places.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at writefromthedeep.com.
Hey, everybody, here's what's going on.
What's going on is that we're grateful to our sponsors. Y'all on Patreon just warm our hearts, and thank you especially to our sponsor of the month, Tammy Partlow.
Yay, Tammy!
I know, right? You can find out more information about Tammy at tammypartlow.com. That's TammyPartlow.com. And her debut book comes out, and I'm thinking it's like any day now. And it's a suspense set in the Deep South. It's called Blood Beneath the Pines.
And as you're listening to this, Erin and I are still in Seattle, Washington. Woo-hoo! We're doing our annual meeting here for Right from the Deep. We're talking about all the things that we want to do to offer you guys as resources and encouragement. So we appreciate your prayers. And now,
here's the show.
Hey, guys, we're in the deep today, and we welcome you here with us. And we have a new guest, Chase Replegal. Erin, you're on.
You know, guys, I am excited to have Chase here with us. I discovered him through his podcast, and then I discovered that Karen and I have a lot of friends in common with Chase. So that was really fun to just meet people across the internet. So Chase does this podcast called Pastor Writer, and it's all about a deeper look at the calling and craft of writing. So naturally, Karen and I are interested right away. So Chase is also a pastor at Bent Oak Church. He's a freelance web designer and a writer. And the podcast, Pastor Writer, is his journey to better understand this very unique vocation of being a pastor and a writer. And so we're going to talk about that, the challenges and the struggles. So we're going to have all kinds of fun with that today. So Chase, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be on the show.
So, you know, we always put our guests to the ringer here. We always want to talk about the deep, and we love to ask, what is your concept of the deep? What does the deep mean to you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think everybody answers the question differently. I know I've heard and listened to a little bit of your show before, too. And I think for me, the question is, what am I trying to reach when I write? And everybody comes at that different. Well, there's the famous Flannery O'Connor line. I don't know what I actually think until I write it. I think that's one approach.
Like, that's
I
me.
Write because it helps me. Yeah, I write because it helps me clarify. Or I think there's George Orwell. I don't remember the quote, but he talks about he writes because there's a lie that he has to expose. He knows there's something that he needs people to understand. So everybody comes, their motivation for writing, I think, can be different. And trying to get to that spot where you do feel like, you know, the phrase you use, in the deep, you're sort of in that place, that vocation, that calling for writing. For me, as I was reflecting on it, and this has been a process of learning, you know, early on, I felt this conviction to write and this calling to write. But really quickly, what happens is it fills in with other people's explanations for why you should write or how you should write. And you start picking up advice and you're kind of trying to write out of what other people have told you or what worked for them. And it's a long road to start figuring out, okay, what is it that actually motivates me and compels me to sit down and actually do the writing more than wanting to do it? And for me, I'm starting to realize that I think I write to remind myself of what I believe is the way that I've been thinking about it. And the reason I put it that way is there are certain truths about my faith or my life or things that are deep convictions that just in the busyness of life, in sort of the consumption of life, the advice of life, slowly gets pushed to the margins. And I can find myself sometimes reacting to something or having an opinion about something that if I stopped for more than 30 seconds and thought about might not actually be what I think or feel about that subject. I'm drug into what everyone else is thinking or feeling, or I'm clicking like on a social media post before I've really considered if that's actually what I think about this thing. And so writing for me is an opportunity to withdraw from that noise, to sort of quiet myself from it, and to put myself through a discipline of really trying to stop and consider, what is true? What do I actually believe about this? What, outside of everything culture is telling me, what do I find in scripture? Where's the Spirit leading me? What is that thing that I want to hold on to that's so easily forced out from me? sometimes I write without sensing that. Sometimes I write into it and find it as I'm writing. Sometimes I'm brought to the page because I very much am feeling that thing I'm wanting to hold on to. Yeah. But there's always that moment in writing when it goes well, where I find myself sort of sinking into it and recognizing this is what's true. This is what I actually believe, and finding a way to say it to myself first, even before I say it to an audience or someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finding that sense of purpose and that sense of motivation without the chaos and without the cacophony around you, like you were saying, of what everybody else says, oh, you're so good at this and you're so good at that. I've been working with writers for a lot of years, and I find, especially when writers contact me about possibly editing their manuscripts, they're like, well, whatever you say, I'll do. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. My job is to come alongside you and bring your story out. It's not to rewrite your story. You've got to know, like you said, Chase, what's true for you and what you are writing and the message that you have, and you need to hold fast to that because that's what God is breathing into you to write, and you can't let go of that just because people come in and say, oh no, you need to be doing this and you need to be doing that.
Yeah,
I think that's the pressure, that you start writing to what you know the audience is wanting to hear. And
right,
the unfortunate thing that happens is, and it's a combination, I can get to that, but the thing that happens is you end up losing your voice in the process because right, you're writing what everyone else is writing because everybody else recognizes that's what is getting shared or getting clicked or what's controversial. And so it becomes this big tension of coming to terms with what is important and significant to you, what you want to hold on to, and at the same time trying to figure out, okay, how do I say that to an audience of people? How do I bring them into that place, which oftentimes means sort of expanding what you originally had in your mind or the way you were getting into the subject, but not losing that thing that brought you to the page in the first place. That to me is one of the real challenges of writing.
Right.
Yeah. So how are you balancing this challenge with writing? You know, you're doing that, but you're also a pastor and you're also a freelance web designer. You know, you have all these vocations going on at the same time. How are you managing that?
Yeah, like everyone else, that's one of the hardest parts. I wish I woke up every morning and brewed my cup of coffee and sit down in my leather chair in the corner and read for a couple hours. But that's not reality. I also have two kids, so both about 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. You know, my first calling was to pastor. That's really, I would give up everything else to be faithful to the congregation that I pastor. It's a small congregation of about 50 people. And that's my heart. I know everybody by name. They've been in my home. That's what I'm most committed to. And so freelance came out of that, doing web design and development marketing, because it allowed me to have the flexibility of schedule to pastor and to sort of control my own schedule when pastoral needs dictated it. And I really felt like the Lord sort of helped guide me into that to find a proper balance. And writing has always been one of the things that sort of, it's been in my heart, and I've just sort of kicked the can and I've done little things. You know, I write all of my sermons. I intentionally made the choice to do full transcriptions because I wanted the discipline of practicing. That's usually around 3,500 to 4,000 words a week I'm writing, and I take that discipline seriously. So I've been doing it, but kind of in quiet. And then a couple years ago, I had a pastoral friend that was just saying, you know, you've really got a setup here between pastoring and doing your own freelance work where you can work hard and carve out a few hours here and there and control your own schedule to take the writing more seriously. And initially, you know, you hear the advice, set a daily writing goal every day, stick to it no matter what. I know that works for some people. Hopefully someday I live in that world, but that's just not the world I'm in right now. So I try to tend to think about seasons of writing. So coming up in December, I've got some guest speakers at church. Usually client work will kind of slow down at the end of the year. And so I try to be really strategic about, there's going to be 3 or 4 weeks that I'm doing more writing than normal in that period of time. And then the other side of that equation, besides sort of handling it in seasons, is I'm always writing even when I'm not in front of the computer. So I tend to do that. I do that with sermon preparation, with also writing. My notes app on my phone is just full of like half sentences and phrases and ideas and thoughts. And I tend to write off of an outline. So those outlines are just, I'm always working on them and rearranging and adding. So when the writing comes time to sit down and do it, I usually have a pretty good sense of what I'm wanting to accomplish in that time. But that's just proved out of trying to find a way to make it work in life and in the schedule. I think that's different for everyone.
And we've come to call that fodder, Aaron and I, when we are preparing podcasts or when we're just having our meetings or when we read our devotional. Every time we're together to work, we have a time reading Streams in the Desert, and then we have a time of prayer together, and we'll be reading Streams in the Desert, and we'll just stop and like, oh, that would be such a good podcast. And so we have this whole file that's full of fodder for the podcast that we want to do, and we jump in there whether we're together or whether we're not. And so that's where we save all that. So I love that idea that you're constantly writing in your head. And I think everyone's like that. That's why when we go to writers' conferences, and you had mentioned earlier that we met enough to have a handshake at Mount Hermon in 2018. The writers' conferences are so much fun because you're with a bunch of other people who are writing in their heads and talking with their characters, and nobody thinks they're crazy. So it's a good environment.
So, Chase, tell me what, as we're talking about this, you had mentioned that you met your agent, Janet Grand is your agent now, and you had met her at a writing conference. And so you're really walking this writing journey. What has surprised you most? You know, nobody comes in like and has it all figured out. So what do you feel was the biggest surprise about how this whole writing publishing thing goes?
Yeah, that's an easy one for me. How slow the process is. I have no idea. So I'm a pastor and I'm, you know, self-employed. So if I want to start something, hey, I buy the domain name and we're off and running a couple days later. And it's not a complaint because I'm learning more and more why it's slow, that it does matter, and giving yourself the time, the writing space, the editing space. Right now I'm in I have a completed manuscript and proposal, and we're just beginning to pitch it to publishers, but trying to pick up the right endorsements, which takes an incredible amount of time. And it's an incredibly slow process, but more and more I'm learning that that's okay. I can settle into that, right? It's kind of your own desperation to just know how that's going to end that makes you so impatient. But picking up a second project and getting started on something else instead of putting all your hopes and dreams in the one project, that's been helpful. But yeah, it is a long, patient process, especially that traditional publishing route.
Yeah. And you mentioned a really good point, and that's not just putting all your eggs in one basket and sitting back and just waiting for a response to a proposal you've sent out. Janet is an excellent agent, and you're really fortunate to have her. She's a very smart lady. Plus, she's a lot of fun. But the whole idea that once you send something out, the next step is to start working on the next thing. Because you can never tell. You can get all kinds of rejections, and you set it aside, you go to the next thing, and then down the road is the right timing for that thing that everybody rejected, and suddenly they're rabid to get it. So,
yeah, one of my other big surprises from that process was, maybe this is a blunt way to put it, but nobody reads the manuscript. So I actually wrote the whole book because I wanted to prove to myself I can. And it's like, you know, nobody along the way has actually read the thing but me. So it feels very bizarre to have like proposals and editor conversations. But to make the point, like, I underestimated how significant the concept is, and getting that concept right, that has to be there. The writing has to be there too. But before you're even going to get to that conversation, to really know what it is and how it's positioned, Janet's been a huge help for me on that. But figuring out the right way to be able to pitch the book in the audience, I just underestimated how significant that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm curious, with all these things that you were doing, you're doing the pastoring, you're a dad, you're doing the writing. What made you do a podcast?
So this is, most of your listeners are writers or doing their own writing. Right. Everybody knows the platform question is one of the big questions when it comes to traditional publishing. And so I was getting that, you know, from lots of directions. As I mentioned, my church has 50 people. I do not have a large pastoral platform. I'm not getting a whole lot of invites to major conferences. And so I knew that I needed to take the platform piece more seriously, but I also knew I wanted to do it in such a way that felt like it was true to who I am. And one of the things I love is the personal aspect of a podcast, the conversations, the ability to build relationships, and for those relationships to be more than just a tweet or an article share, but actually getting to have deep conversations about things. So for me, the podcast, it felt like strategically a good decision to help build the platform. It was also a strategic decision that it let me be able to have great conversations with editors like you guys and people in the industry that I wouldn't have had access to without a show. It was strategic because I have a lot of pastors on, which I know a lot of my writing is geared towards and are really important relationships for a book spreading in churches. So there was some good strategy pieces to it. But again, it felt more natural for who I am as a person, these kinds of conversations, than just sort of, you know, list articles or even right. Facebook Lives. Those can be great tools for other people. But the audio conversation just fit me personally really well. And it's been a blast. It's one of the best decisions I've made in the last year. I just love it every week.
And I've enjoyed, like I said, I discovered you through that, and I have enjoyed listening to the episodes I've had time to listen to so far. I had to work my way through your back episodes, but
yeah, I know how hard that is too. We all have big lists of it piling up.
So what are some of the insights that you've discovered or gotten from your guests that have impacted you personally?
You know, I alluded to this earlier. I used to think that writing was a very sort of monolithic thing. Like the process was you had to do it a certain way and people approached it the certain way. And I'm surprised by how differently people approach writing and how important that is to figure out why you do it. But the other big thing that I've learned from my guests is besides them just having a different approach to writing or a different tactic for getting the actual writing done, all of them seem to have audiences that are in totally different parts of the internet and topics that are very different to them. And some of them, the guests I'll have on, no one has ever heard of, but I've stumbled across a book or met online. But when you get talking to them, they're phenomenal writers and they have really engaged audiences. And I look at my bookshelves, especially within sort of Christian publishing, and there's like these big names that everyone would recognize, and you go into a Christian bookstore and their books are always there. But there's this massive amount of faithful, really excellent writers out there who are writing on these important topics to important audiences. And so many of them are doing really good, faithful work, but they're not household names. And more and more I'm coming to respect the people who do that. You know, I think about Drew Dick is one of the guys that I've had on here recently. We were talking about Eugene Peterson. I think of him as a kind of grinder when it comes to writing. He's had three or four books out now. None of them have been New York Times bestselling books, but really, really good books and books that have had really good impact on certain segments of the audience. And you know, he may never be a household name, but the work he's doing is really, really important work. Or I had a relatively new author on the other day, Ben Verbicek, who was writing a book about how pastors make transitions in churches. Mm-hmm. And I was joking with him about no one's going to be able to sell this book because you can't get caught reading it, right? Or else your boss is going to know you're about it. And so nobody writes it. I mean, in a very practical sense, like nobody's going to publish it. And he self-published the book because it's just not a book that's going to be, it's not right. going to be able to be marketable.
And it's packaged in brown paper bags, right?
Yeah, see, that actually is a great idea. But it's a super important topic and one that a lot of pastors need. And so I have more and more respect for those kind of authors who are just putting in the work and publishing the work and finding the right audience. And we may not know their name, but God's using them and they're fulfilling that calling. And they're just they're a really important part of the reading and the writing that's happening that most of us may never know about.
We stress to writers, both in our work as editors and coaches, and we stress on our podcast that the task that God has given you isn't to get published. The task that he has given you is to write. And you never know what the audience is that God wants to reach with your message, but you need to be obedient to that task that he's given you, because nobody can deliver the message he's given you the way that you can. And even if you only change one person's life, you've changed a person's life. You've impacted them. God, and that's a powerful, powerful thing.
Yeah. I love that, because I think the majority of writers are out there working in obscurity, or those few people that will read it. We tend to think of the household names as these are the real writers. That isn't true at all. Exactly what you're saying, Chase. There is an army of writers out there doing excellent work that most of us can't ever know who they all are, but they're there, you know. What do you do, Chase? What do you do when you're discouraged? Have you ever been discouraged, tempted to give up?
He's a pastor.
yes. You mean today or yesterday?
You mean this morning?
You know, again, seasons have become really important to me. So, you know, having the discipline to just walk away for a time. My wife is really helpful at that. She recognizes when I'm like, you know, it's not fun anymore. That's a little too simplistic. But when it's I'm getting desperate is the way that I'll normally describe it on the podcast. You feel that inside of you. It's this tendency to overwork and to start working on the things that you really can't control, but you're trying to, that desperation, you know, yeah. How can I get more shares on this thing? How can I get more numbers on this? Like I'm starting to know myself well enough to recognize that earlier on and being able to walk away from it. In fact, that's one of the things that being bivocational has been a real gift for, is when I start to sense that with writing, I know it's time to just stop. You know, this is to me, the power of what, well, Leo Tolstoy has a great quote about Sabbath, and he says, for God's sake, just stop. That's the way he describes Sabbath. And I think that, you know, we tend to think we do a really awkward thing with the Sabbath. We turn the Sabbath into like, I'm going to take 1 out of 7 days off so that it'll rejuvenate me and I can get more done on the other 6 days. We turn Sabbath into like a productivity hack to get more done. Wow. And I really think the point of Sabbath is to put an intentional check on yourself.
Right.
I could go further with this work, but I'm going to stop short intentionally to remind myself that this is not in my hands and it's not about me figuring out the way to get this done. And so trying to put intentional checks on that desperation that say, when I start to feel that, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to walk away from the Facebook analytics. I'm going to close Google Analytics. I'm going to walk away from the blog and I'm going to go have coffee with people I pastor. I'm going to work on some client work and I'm going to come back to it down the road, and trying to learn to do the work that I can do and stop doing the work that's being done out of desperation. And that takes, you got to know yourself and you got to be willing to push back against yourself and check yourself in some really determined ways.
I think that's an awesome idea. I think we all need to put a little note on our computers that says, just step away from the statistics.
Yeah.
Find the Sabbath.
Matter how much you dissect them and pull them apart, and this is helpful information, but you're not going to change the numbers, right? Right.
You have no control, folks.
Yeah,
control is an illusion, especially where publishing is concerned.
That is very true. So we're getting close to the end of our time here, Chase. If you could leave our listeners with one most important thought or final words of wisdom or encouragement, what would you want to say to them?
I think the best thing you can do as a writer, and again, I'm an unpublished writer who's trying to find my way through this, so take it for what it's worth, but I think you have to figure out for yourself what you enjoy in the process and do it. There's always going to be hard work. There's always going to be things you don't want to do in the process, things that are difficult to get through. But if you know what part of that process you actually enjoy for the sake of the work, not just what you imagine it's going to pay off and be or where it's going to take you, but the actual, I mean, for me, it's revisions. Writing is hard, but I love the process of revisions. And so knowing that that's the thing that whether it gets published or it gets deleted off my hard drive, I have backups, so hopefully that won't happen. But if everything was lost, there was still something beneficial to my spiritual development and my enjoyment and just the part of that process that I love. If you can figure that out, then lean into that and just know like that is the work, that enjoyment, that's what you're being called to do. And you'll find the motivation to do the other stuff that you have to, that may not be as enjoyable if you can find that place.
Yeah.
Well, Chase, you have been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, for sharing your wisdom and experiences with us. I know that our readers are going to be blessed by it and that they're going to find new truths, maybe that they've never even considered. I'm going to be spending a lot of time thinking about the idea of Sabbath and what that really needs to be for me, not just as a writer, but in everything that I do. And so thank you for being with us. We hope that our listeners will just all flood to listen to Pastor Writer and hear the amazing interviews that you do with these folks. And we just are looking forward to what God is going to do in you in the future.
Well, thank you so much. It's a real honor. I take that very seriously. And I love the work that you guys do. I know firsthand how much work goes into it that nobody ever sees or realizes. So thank you for all that you do as well, too. Sometimes podcasting is like speaking into a black hole. You like, look at this microphone. And people are downloading it, but I have no idea who these people are. So I know how that can feel. So I appreciate so much the work that you do. We need more of it. So thank you as well.
Well, thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. We hope you found it helpful.
And if you know someone else who needs this podcast, please share it.
You can find backlist episodes and lots more resources at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
Yep, we'd love to connect with you guys there.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.